I'm sure that some of you have tremendously enjoyed what you've heard before, and you've had a good meal. It's getting kind of warm, you're sleepy. Well, don't fight it. Just go to sleep. But I'll guarantee you one thing, by the time gets up, you'll wake up. So relax. I'm going to read you a psalm I've read to you before. And in some places around here, I believe I've spoken on it, but not the way I will this afternoon. I'd like to read with you the 77th psalm. This is a psalm that was written by one of the singers during David's day. Asaph was one of the singers of the nation of Israel. If you want to read his history, you'll find it interesting that when they came back from captivity, he had 142 descendants, and they were all singers. I think maybe they learned that from him. He'd learned to sing, and so did his children, and so did his grandchildren. And 142 of them were singers in the service of God. We tried that at our family, but it didn't work. My mother sang, but the rest of us couldn't. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. The day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art a God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound. Then arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I'd like to think with you this afternoon of memory. Five times in this psalm, David talks about remembering things. He talks about remembering things in verse 3 in connection with the past. Talks about remembering things in verse 6 in connection with the present. He talks three times about remembering things in verse 10 and 11 in connection with the future. In verse 3, he is talking about memories of the past, and it causes anguish. In verse 6, he speaks about memories of the present, and it causes argument. And in verse 10 and 11, he talks about the memories of the future, and it brings him to appropriate what God had given to him. All of us have memories. Some of us perhaps better than others. Someone has well suggested his wife had the worst memory of anybody he ever knew. The friend said to him, "You mean she can't remember?" He says, "No, she never forgets anything." Well, we have memories. We remember the good things of the past. We dwell and remember perhaps some of the anguish and some of the sorrows of the past. We think of days when the sun was shining brightly, and we remember the days when the clouds gathered. We think of things that were shown us in days past that bring pleasant memories to us. And we can think of things that were done to us and said about us of the past, and the memories are not so pleasant. But there's one thing you and I cannot do, and God can. God cannot only forgive the past, but God can forget it. Anything that's done to me or to you, we may forgive, but we don't have the capability of forgetting. We can look back at our lives as Christians and think of the past and remember some of the things that we're thankful nobody else knows but God and us. And we come to God sometimes with them. And we confess them and we say to the Lord, "This and such happened to us," and God answers and says to us, "I don't know what you're talking about. I've not only forgiven them, but I've forgotten them. Because he tells me that my sins and iniquities, he will remember no more." God can do something for you that you can't do for yourself. And he does it every day of our lives. Now I want to think with you first of all of memories of the past. And there may be some here this afternoon that are unsaved. And David says, "I remembered God and was troubled." And if you're here in your sins, you might well be troubled when you think of God. Because you're going to meet him. It causes troubles in our hearts when we are younger at home, when we did things that were displeasing to our parents. I remember when I was 12 years old, I did something that I shouldn't have done. And my two lovely brothers, my brother Charles and August, were visiting in the Netherlands at that time. And in order to get away from being punished, I started running. I ran away from home as fast as I could. And my brother August chased me, but not my brother Charles. But when I ran down an alley to get away from August, Charles met me from the other side. And the two of them caught me in between and carried me home to my father. I've never forgiven him for it either. I had done something that troubled me. I wasn't ready to meet my father. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, you're not ready to meet God. And then you begin to think of God, you might well be troubled. You might well remember that the God to whom you belong, the God who gave your life, is the God to whom you're going to be responsible for that life in a future day. But I want to think that you as Christians today, I wonder what you remember about the past and that troubled you. What about that materialism to which we have sunk as Christians in the day in which we're living? What about spending our energies for things that are fleeting instead of for things that are real? I was talking to a lady this afternoon, I won't mention who she was, and she said to me she wanted to know what was wrong with Christians. When she was first saved, she used to go to meetings like this, and all over the auditorium you used to hear amen, praise the Lord, and now you hear nothing. When she first went, Christians stood by the door. And when the gospel meeting was over, nobody got out that door without being talked to about their soul. Now the gospel meeting is over and they stand in the back and they talk about anything but souls. They talk about Christmas or about New Year's or about this hat or that dress or this person or that person. Anything and everything but souls. When I look back at my life 35 years ago, I can see the change amongst the people of God, and I'm including, of course, myself. I was in California 3 years ago, and I met Brother Stacy Woods. Some of you may know him. His father was a very fine evangelist from Australia. Stacy is the international director of the foreign student work, and he lives in Switzerland. And he was telling me in California, he says, Henry, I will tell you one thing, 10 years from now, you will not find a single fundamental church in the world. The only place you'll hear the gospel is in gospel halls, and that will be diluted. Mr. Graham walked into the office of the president of Charles Fuller Seminary in California. And he took his Bible and he laid it on his desk. And he says, Don, it's Charles Fuller's son, as some of you know. He says, Don, do you believe this book to be the Word of God? And Don Fuller says, yes, I do, but it's not infallible. And Mr. Charles Fuller stood back of him. And Mr. Graham says, Mr. Fuller, what do you say? And Charles Fuller said to his utter amazement, I believe Don is right. If this book is not infallible, as far as I'm concerned, you might as well put it in the furnace. Because if it isn't infallible, it's worthless. Who is to know what's real and what isn't? Who can take out of it that which is of God and that which isn't of God? If it isn't all of Him. And here is a man that for years God used and is still using to the salvation of souls, but actually denying the fact that every word in this Bible is God breathed and God's voice. Do you remember the days how you lived as a Christian 25 years ago? And how you're living today? Do you remember men that came out at the child's voice and the horn voice? That spent their lives from morning till night reaching souls for God, where are they today? What's the difference? I think for you and I sat down and took stock of ourselves, we might well say, as Christians, I remembered God and I'm troubled. Because I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. We are not living as we ought to be living. We are not serving as we ought to be serving. And David said when he looked back at his life, when he looked back at things that had taken place, he was so troubled about it, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sing. His whole body was wrong, he was physically wrong. His soul was wrong, he was spiritually wrong. When he thought of the life he was living for God. I suppose in David's case it was the one particular sin that he was thinking. But I think if you and I took stock of ourselves, we'd be thinking of a lot of things that's wrong. And I believe the reason for it is very simple. The psalm starts out with the word I. I. Thank God it ends with the word God, but it begins with I. Whenever a Christian's life begins with I, it's wrong. In the first 10 verses of the psalm, all he does is sob, sigh, sink. And it's not until the last 10 that he begins to sing again. Because in the last 10, he's thinking about God. In the first 10, he's thinking about himself. When a Christian is thinking about himself, you'll start sighing and thinking. You can't help it. The best of us, when we look at ourselves, you find trouble. Now again, in the first time that Davis talks about remembering himself, he's talking about the trouble in which he is. Talking about his short-sightedness. You know, we often say the fool has said in his heart there is no God. And I suppose it's true. Well, I believe the verse really means this. The fool has said in his heart there is no God for me. Nobody is foolish enough to deny that there is a God. But many people are foolish enough to deny that there is a God for them. And I want to go farther than that. I know this is talking about the unsaved. But I want to go a little farther than that. Many of us as Christians are living as though there is no God for us either. We're living for everything else but that. And I'm talking to myself, perhaps more than I'm talking to you. Some 40-odd years ago, I was sitting in a gospel service on a Sunday night, and don't ask me what the preacher spoke about. I couldn't tell you. I know he talked about Noah's Ark, and that's all I remember. But when I started to go out the door, there was a man standing in the doorway about 6'6". He weighed something like 240 pounds. He's a policeman in the city in which we live. And I tried to get by him without him talking to me, but I couldn't. And he took me by the hand, and as he looked at me, I had to look at him, and I saw the tears streaming down his face. And he said to me, "Henry, if God would come tonight, would you be on the inside of that door or the outside?" I don't remember a word of that sermon. But as long as I live, I'll never forget those tears. How many of us are weeping over souls today? Oh, we preach to them. We even talk to them. How many of us are really weeping? "He that goeth forward bearing precious seed weeping shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Why is it that many of us are troubled when we think of the privileges that God has given us and are not using them? Then I'd like to suggest that some of us as Christians, when we think of God, are troubled because we're living self-centered lives. It's all for me. First. That's the way the psalmist was. He started out by talking, I trouble. A lot of things in my life, and I'm sure there's a lot in your life as Christians, that were so entirely centered in ourselves that we'd love to forget them. And when we think about them, they're trouble. We can look at the past and we can think of dozens of things. But if we really lived for God, it'd be trouble to ever happen to us. They did. We do many things in this life that if we could do them over again, we wouldn't do them the same way. I was in California many years ago and working at the children's home, and in Pasadena on a Monday night, once a month, they had a concert. Our brother, can't think of his name, doesn't make any difference. He had a choir of some 100 voices and soloists and quartets and so on. And they gave a concert once a month in the auditorium in Pasadena. was always filled, some 5,000 people, beautiful singing. And I remember going there one time, and before the concert started, he was telling us a story. He said, some people remind them of the young fella that went to visit his girlfriend. Some of you young fellas will have to listen to this. It may be good advice for you. And he sat on the davenport in the living room on one side, and she sat on the other. For about 15, 20 minutes, and nobody said anything. And finally he took up courage enough, he looked at her and he says, I came here to ask you something tonight, will you marry me? And without a minute's hesitation, of course, she said yes. And silence again for about 20 minutes. And then she looked at him and she says, why don't you say something? He said, no thanks, I think I said too much already. But he couldn't take it back. Some of you young boys take that advice from somebody that's just as foolish. Remembering things and not being able to do something about them. Well, that's the sad part about our past, but you notice David is thinking of the present too. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I remember what it used to be to have joy in the things of God. When I couldn't sleep nights, I could sing. I wasn't walking the floor at that time. There was something inside of me that far overshadowed any circumstances I might be in. The night is the darkest time of your life, and he could sing when things were dark. You know, I remember those days, do you? Do you remember the days when everything seems to be going contrary as far as this world is concerned? And yet you could sit in the presence of God singing in your heart and making melody to Him. Why? Because you were not living in the circumstances, you were living above the circumstances. You're not living in this world, you were living in the world to come. I was here many years ago, and I forget who it was now, so don't ask me afterwards to explain it to you. The brother that told me will perhaps remember. But I was staying in the brother's home, and some other brother came there, and he said, did you know that so-and-so went to heaven this morning? Now, I don't know who it was, but I'll never forget the answer. This brother said, well, there's one thing about him. He didn't have far to go. He was living there. And I'm afraid some of us are going to have an awful distance to go when our time comes to go. I remember David said my song in the night. I communed with my own heart. And I'm beginning to wonder, doesn't God care anymore? Has He cast me off forever? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Have you ever wondered about them in circumstances? We had a little trouble in our home for about a year and 3 months. Either my wife was sick or I was sick. Either she had to take care of me or I took care of her. Either she wore steel braces or I wore steel braces. And part of the time we wore them together. I don't mean the same braces, but at the same time. When I was sick in bed, she cooked, and when she was sick in bed, I cooked, and so on. But thank God, none of us ever wondered whether God cared. He showed it to us every day of that period of time. Every time, every day, every hour of the day. And David began to wonder, have you ever wondered whether God cares? Are things going in your life that you wonder whether God's really looking after you or listen? When you begin to think of the present, you'll get arguments. But David got away from it. And he began to remember the future. And notice what he says. And this is the change in the psalm in verse 10. First of all, he says, this has the Lord cast off forever? Will the Lord be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And here's the change. There's nothing wrong with God. Everything that's wrong is wrong with me. This is my infirmity. If there's ever a day in your life that think God doesn't care for you, it's not because God has changed, but it's because you and I have changed. It's not because of what he does, but because of the way we think. God cares for us every step of our lives. Some of you remember our brother Buhlander. I could use my own life, but I'll use his. Some of you remember our brother Buhlander. He was a pastor of a Baptist church in Indiana many years ago. And while he was a pastor of this small Baptist church, his wife got sick. And the Baptists in Indiana had their own hospital, so they put his wife in the Baptist hospital. She was there for about 4 weeks and discharged and coming home. And one day he heard some of those committee members, whatever they are. I never knew what committees are. I think committees are things to make trouble, if you ask me. Some of those committee members, he heard them say, we have to get rid of him. He shouldn't be a pastor of the Baptist church too much longer because his wife is going to be too much expenses for him. Well, they got rid of him. And Brother Buhlander came amongst a small assembly in Logansport, Indiana. He served the Lord in small assembly. His wife had been sick, I believe, for almost 4 years. He told me that his hospital bills alone were over $9,000. And he never had to borrow a dime to pay them. He told me at the Homer Conference last year, I don't owe anybody a penny. And I never needed to borrow a cent to take care of my wife. Because God sent them what he needed. Some of you remember I was at the children's home in Colorado Springs. I know Beverly remembers if nobody else does. And one time Brother Walden called me into his office. He says, Henry, something happened the other day I want to tell you. And four gentlemen came to see them. And they were the president and the vice president and the secretary and the treasurer of the Lions Club of the state of Colorado. They used to have a children's home of their own, and they closed it. And they said to Mr. Walden, we had a meeting the other day, and we have decided that your home is going to be our project from now on. And Mr. Walden says, well, that's very nice, gentlemen. He says, and what is yours to set up? He says, well, we're willing to spend $17,000 a year. So we're going to have a plane with a streamer on the back, advertising that the Lions home, the children's home, was going to be supported by the Lions.
And Mr. Walden says, well, thank you, I appreciate that, but suppose it costs $20,000.
And Mr. Walden says, well, thank you, I appreciate that, but suppose it costs $20,000. Well, they talked it over. They said, well, we probably could raise $3,000 more. We give you $20,000. Well, let's put, Mr. Walden says, suppose it costs $25,000. Or suppose it cost $30,000. And the year we were there, it cost $34,000, so he wasn't so far off. He said, suppose it cost $30,000. He said, well, we couldn't go that high. Well, he says, don't you think I'd be foolish to change then? He says, because the party that's sponsoring it now has never set a limit. And I have been in that home. But on the 8th of the month, they had $46 in the bank. And they had $1,600 worth of bills to pay by the 10th. And it never failed to be there. If there's something in your life that isn't like it used to be, it's not God's fault. It's mine. This is my infirmity. David says, you know what's wrong? I haven't looked back. I remember now the years of the right hand of the Lord. I remember what God used to do for me. I remember all the wonders he performed on my behalf. All I have to do is look back and I'll know that it isn't the way I think it is. What's wrong is wrong with me. And you can look into the future and I can look into the future as a Christian. And we can say like David, Thou art a God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength, that thy right arm thou hast redeemed thy people in this. Do you think for one moment that the God who sent the Lord Jesus to die for your sins on the cross will let you go after he got you? That he'll not care for you until he gets you home? Every step of the way. If you don't remember anything else, let me ask you today, and my time is gone, let me ask you today to remember what Christianity used to mean to you and what it used to mean to me. Remember the days when your heart and my heart was burning, was on fire to serve God in whatever way he made it possible for us to serve him. Something happened to me many years ago and I'll never forget it. I was working in a house trailer shop in Michigan. And a man used to come in there and he used to usually smell of liquor. He was a great drinker. He brought some material that my boss bought him. Every once in a while I felt as though I should say something to him, but somehow or another I never did. And all of a sudden one day he came in and his face was just beaming. I had a card over my desk and on that card it says, please don't use my Lord's name in vain. And one day he came in and was just beaming and I looked at him and says, Jim, what's the matter with you? He says, boy, he says, what happened to me last night? Says, somebody picked me up off the street, drunk, took me to the city rescue mission. And he says, at 4 o'clock this morning, I received Christ as my Savior. And it was though as God said to me, Henry, that could have been a trophy of grace for you, but they never talked to you. Remember the day that nobody could come in contact with you? When I was first saved, I got up at 6 in the morning. I first went to see the man that preached when I was saved, though I don't know what he said. Then I went to man to see whose tears I saw running down his face speaking to. I went to see everybody I know, every friend I ever had, and told them that Christ was my Savior now. I wonder how many I've talked to in the last month, first of all. Remember the good things. And get back to you. And remember when you think that circumstances are wrong, or that things aren't going the way they ought to go, it's not God's fault. It's my infirmity. What's wrong with me? Oh, I know there's a lot of people wrong with, things wrong with other people. I could point at other people and I could find all kinds of fault with. You know what the easiest thing for me to do is? To find fault with somebody else. I know Christians that can, boy, they can point them out one after the other. This sister in the meeting does this, and that brother in the meeting does this, and this sister does that, and so on. They've never looked inside. When I look around me, I become discouraged. But when I stand in front of a mirror, I become disgusted. If there's something wrong with your brother, it's not what's wrong with him, it's what's wrong with me. When we stand here, we'll not find any fault in our brother. We'll be looking at the things that are pure and good, and so on. Remember, if something is wrong in your life, it's not what God's fault, it's your fault. And then last but not least, remember this one thing. That God hasn't changed from the day he saved you. God is just as anxious for your benefit today as he was then.
God is just as anxious to bless as He was to bless them. God's love is just the same today as it was then. All you need to do is avail yourself of. Remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Remember God's power in your life. Remember the wonders that God did, the miracles that He performed. And then you'll be singing again, like you sang before. You'll have a song to sing in the darkest night. God grant it may be so.